Hi, everyone. Just a reminder that this show is not legal advice, trading advice, financial advice, or personal advice. Enjoy the show, and thank you very much. Yo, yo, welcome to Crypto 101. This is Matthew Aaron. And did you know if you are from New York and you're traveling to Los Angeles and you happen to have an accident in Los Angeles and that hospital that you're in Los Angeles had to call or get information from your hospital in New York, that it would be a pain in the ass? I didn't know this, but I just learned this because of our guest today, Carissa McFarland, founder and CEO of Patientory. And Patientory is putting your medical records and history on the blockchain. What does that mean? That means no matter who you are, no matter where you are or where you're from, if you need your medical records or if you needed your son or daughter's medical records, ASAP, you can have them. So I'm very happy to have Carissa on the show today to tell us about a huge gap in personal safety and security that we didn't know about. And this is why they created their company. So please enjoy the conversation with Carissa. But before that, please come to crypto101podcast.com. That's crypto101podcast.com. Over there, you can see who we are. You can send us emails. Send me an email. Say what's up. You can go to our iTunes and subscribe to us. You can leave us comments. Leaving us comments and leaving us ratings moves us up in the ranking on iTunes. Right now, we are ranked number 12 or 13 in business podcasts. We want to get into the top 10, so please keep helping us out. And you also can come on our Patreon page. Our Patreon page is what is keeping Crypto 101 paying its bills. The Patreons on our Patreon page, there are 28 of them. They are paying the servers, the upkeep. So thank you very much. And without further ado, a brief conversation with Carissa McFarland. Hi, Carissa. Thank you very much for coming on Crypto 101.
Thank you for having me, Matthew.
Carissa, would you mind just telling a little bit about yourself, telling the Crypto 101 audience who you are?
Sure, absolutely. I'm Carissa McFarland, the founder and CEO of Patientory.
Tell us a little bit about you, where you're from, where you grew up, a little bit about your background.
I was actually born in the Caribbean, island of Jamaica. Cool. So, you know, Bob Marley's also from there.
Right on.
But I left at a very young age. I was about 3 years old. And I moved to New York City. So I grew up in New York City and then went off to college in upstate New York at Cornell.
What did you major in college?
I was pre-med. So my dream since a little girl was to be a surgeon. I wanted to be a physician. And then I also supplemented my studies with liberal arts. So I majored in Spanish, African diaspora history, okay. And did a lot of psychology and social sciences as well, and did a concentration in global health. So I was always interested in going in healthcare and being in the healthcare industry.
Even after college, even before college, you wanted to be a doctor.
Yeah, since like high school, I was basically pre-preparing for college in high school. So I went to one of the, New York City specialized science high schools, Bronx Science, and I, started out doing research there. So I did research in high school at the Albert Einstein College of Medicine, mm-hmm. Which is located in the Bronx, and received, a couple of honors from the research I did there.
What happened? You didn't go to med school. You started.
I did not.
but you started this company. And what led you to starting this company?
Entrepreneurship has always been in my family. So as immigrants, especially my parents, I grew up in a household. Like my father, he, started up restaurants around the city. Mm-hmm. And I was always there. So I always had this curiosity about going into business. And through college, I would take internships and positions where I was still working in like a hospital and healthcare setting, but I was always, developing new products or the lead program manager for a new initiative at the hospital. So, you know, before I, you know, decided to sign my life away to med school, I decided to go to business school.
Okay.
So I headed down south, North Carolina, went to business school and consulted for, you know, a couple of CEOs in the health IT space. And I fell in love, you know, so it was a really, you know, big detour from what I thought I wanted to do, you know, growing up as a child.
Through that consulting, through that business school, and through being in hospitals and the entrepreneurial background you have, what inspired the idea for Patientory?
So, well, after graduating business school, I got poached actually to work for a healthcare tech startup in New York. The CEO was a Cornell alum, okay. So she found me through her network and was really impressed and wanted me to lead their insurance product. It's my first time really, you know, full-time out of school, you know, especially working for a startup in the healthcare technology setting. So I did that. You know, we were an app. We saw, you know, over 100 startup companies and, you know, big companies based out of New York. We had a lot of great, great brands. And we were their go-to guides for anything healthcare. Mm-hmm. Biggest problem I had, and especially in leading my team, was actually getting access to patient information. So that's really where that inspiration for Patientory came from. And I had actively, you know, been following the Bitcoin blockchain space for a while. And I think it was really my research instincts that just kicked in, was like, why not marry the two industries together? I mean, right. We have blockchain. We do this in healthcare as well.
What was the problem with patient information? What was the thing that you're dealing with every day, day in and day out, and that you just said, okay, this sucks. This is enough. I'm going to fix this shit.
Well, you know, I mean, just down to the different electronic medical records that are available now. There are over 3,000 different EMRs just in the U.S. alone.
What is an EMR?
And electronic medical record.
Okay.
And there are over 3,000 vendors, and they don't talk to each other. So let's say you go to your you know, your physician who's on one electronic medical record system, and then you have to go to another specialist, you know, who's on a different EMR system. There's no way to get, you know, that information from one point to the next without, you know, going through this long process of waiting for that information. And that's a lot of the stories that we received, you know, just managing different patients. We had a pregnant lady who was like, who had induced labor because she was on vacation and they didn't have access to her medical information. So it took them a longer time to do all the tests and actually know what she needed.
Right.
Because she didn't have that information on hand.
Can we go through the operations just really quick of the current medical system and what Patientory is going to do? And then the basic foundations of your product. So right now, if you wanted to get information from, see, I'm living in Taiwan. I get into a car accident. I'm sitting in the hospital and they don't know what's going on with me because maybe I have a underlying condition. How do they get information right now?
Right now? Yes. Well, who knows if, you know, that hospital system in Taiwan uses an electronic database to actually store that information. So in the U.S., it was mandated by the Obama administration for all hospitals and clinics to keep an electronic medical record keeping system for their patients. Hmm. And we were one of the first nations to actually do that. And we still see a lag, especially in the third world, where they're still using paper records. And I even know in rural areas in the U.S., even though it's illegal, you know, clinics and doctor's offices are still using paper record to manage their patients' information. So right now, everything is pretty fragmented still and disparate.
Yeah. So with the digital system in the United States right now, a hospital in Los Angeles can hop online and get information from New York?
It depends on if they're on the same system. If they're not on the same system, then that's nearly impossible because...
And you said there's 3,000 systems.
Yeah, and the two major ones I would name, Epic and Cerner, you know, they're very closed, and siloed.
Okay, which means they protect their information because they don't want their data is important in a revenue generating service.
Exactly.
I see. So basically, it's impossible to get my records to Los Angeles unless, for some reason, we're using Cerner.
Yeah, okay. Which makes it much easier. But then there's still, you know, you have to see what actual Cerner system your hospital is using.
Okay, so this is starting to piece together. I don't think anybody knows how their hospital works. They know that they have Band-Aids and they have Tylenol, but other than that, they don't know.
Exactly. It's a pretty messy system.
The small mom and pop shops in the rural areas, are they not using the system because maybe they don't like change, or is it an access? Are these systems too expensive for them?
That's, you know, a big portion of it is cost. You look at implementations for a lot of the major hospital systems, and these are multi-million dollar implementation costs. And that might run a couple of $100,000 for even a small clinic. So we see a lot of pushback from the actual providers, the doctors, because they're just so used to, you know, how their way of keeping a record, bringing in a digital system is kind of, it's really disruptive to their workflow.
Right. I remember when I had to start using Excels in class back in, I was like, what, no paper and pencil? What are you talking about?
Yeah. So a lot of the, you know, just from doctor friends that I have and doing interviews, you know, a lot of the doctors complain that a lot of their time is spent inputting information rather than time spent with the patient.
Right. That's a very good point. Okay. So I think we've already got to the point where we know that we need a new system. And PTOY is that new system. Can you tell us about how it works, why it's going to benefit everybody, and is it going to be accessible to everybody?
Yeah, well, we hope our main moonshot goal is to, you know, really empower patients globally to have a platform where they can, you know, manage and transfer their health data regardless of where they are. But it at the end of the day, it boils down to that individual patient. Mm-hmm. And we're using blockchain to, you know, run nodes on these hospital servers to act as a pointer for patient data so that, you know, patients can easily access that information. So right now, the average time to actually get your health information, you know, mailed out to you, or they, you know, healthcare still uses faxes. Oh, you know, it's still obviously an industry that's in the 80s. That's in the 80s. You know, and we see patients can wait anywhere from 3 weeks to, you know, 4 months for that information.
Wow.
So why not have a system that bridges all these systems together so that, you know, patients can have that information from time of birth?
I guess the natural question is, okay, so just in summary, PTOY is putting your information, your medical history and information on the blockchain and giving it to the individual. Am I correct?
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
Why?
Great summary.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Why isn't there just a system? Why? Okay, first of all, why do you need the blockchain? And second of all, why isn't there just a universal system where they just, everybody uses it because it's better for the hospitals?
That's the chicken and the egg question. That's a very great question. It's something that the industry really needs, especially looking at healthcare spend in the country, which is about, you know, 75% of U.S. debt.
Wow, really? Is it?
But we've seen a lot of companies, you know, try to do this and fail. Google Health, Microsoft HealthLaw, you know, which, you know, came out 5 years ago. And I think the number one reason boils down to the infrastructure and the technology needed to be able to achieve that. So the good thing with blockchain is that, you know, an underlying, you know, value proposition with blockchain is a system of distribution and distributed ledgers, which I think makes, and also the security and the encryption that our company is using from the healthcare standpoint to actually secure the transfer of that information is what's really game changing and really differentiates us in the market.
Who needs to take the lead on this? Is it the individual? Is it Matthew Aaron that has to go out and say and demand that he wants to put his health information on the blockchain? Or is it the hospitals that need to implement it? Or is it this another chicken and egg?
Well, we really see this as a coming together of both parties, right? Usually we see healthcare driven by the provider, and it's this top-down approach where you go to the doctor and you do everything your doctor tells you to do.
Right.
But again, we're empowering the patient, right? So while the hospital would be the one to implement it, you know, and we really sell into hospital systems and hone in on those value propositions I mentioned earlier, we really see the patient as the drivers and adopt the technology when thinking about scale.
Off topic, what kind of restaurants did your parents have?
Oh, it's Jamaican.
Oh, okay, cool. Well, what is Jamaican food?
Yeah. So it's like jerk chicken. You ever had?
Yeah.
Curry. Yeah.
You said curry? Stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, Jamaica has a curry?
Yeah, you never had Jamaican curry?
No.
It's really good.
What is it like?
Jamaican curry doesn't use coconut milk like you would find in Thai curry,
right,
or some Indian curry dishes. It's more similar to Indian red curry.
Okay.
It's very spicy.
Definitely
try it if you can.
I would love to. I've never been to everybody knows jerk chicken, but I've never been to a Jamaican restaurant. I think that seems like a New York thing that they would start.
It is.
Because we didn't have it in Cleveland or Hawaii that I know of.
Oh, no, yeah. You won't find a lot of Jamaicans out there.
But
if you're ever in New York, there are a ton.
So did they have a restaurant their whole life in the States? Or was that a new thing? Did they have one, two, many?
Yeah, in the States. And I know we actually worked with largest Jamaican franchise, which is called Golden Crust. So they do a lot of the Jamaican patties, which is similar to an empanada. And they do they distribute like over 50 million across the U.S., North America, the Caribbean,
right,
and Europe. Yeah, so we know that family pretty well. And then my father had about three before he decided that restaurant business is just too much, you know, too demanding.
Right. And I'm surprised you didn't go into put, Jamaican food on the blockchain.
I should. that would be my next endeavor.
JRK token.
That's a good one.
Thank you. Oh, and another off question. Does your parents have a Jamaican accent?
They do, and they still do to this day, even though they've been in this country for almost like over 30 years.
That's awesome.
I think once you grow up, you know, past high school, like past 17 or 18, in a culture,
right,
you can't really get rid of it. You know what I mean?
Right. No. I've been in Asia for 13 years, and I'm pretty fluent in Chinese, but I have the worst American accent.
Yeah.
I can't get rid of it.
And maybe if you went there when you were like 12,
I have a buddy who's Russian, and he went to the States, you know, when he was, you know, in his teens, and he speaks perfect English. You couldn't even tell. But then his mother has been in the States, you know, for as long as he has been, and she still has her Russian accent. Can't get rid of it. It's interesting how that works.
It is, like, the environment that you grow up in really dictates your future.
it's also a resistance of yourself. You resist your environment at a certain age and say, no, I will not say it this way.
Yeah.
All right, sorry, back to Paysatory. What's the difference between Paysatory and, say, other privacy coins? For example, Civic and Datum. Civic is, you know, a privacy coin. It's going to put your personal identity on the blockchain. Datum is a token that is going to control your data, for example, your online presence. But they all want to expand to controlling, you
different
know, all
industries.
Of, yes, exactly. So why is Paysatory better than, say, Civic or Datum?
Yeah, well, not to, you know, I think there are really synergies down the line between all of us. But I think our take on the industry is that we're really coming from it from a niche perspective. And looking at the current state of healthcare and the problems that it faces and how, you know, having your data on the blockchain can solve a lot of these problems. So we would go deep into machine learning, AI, care coordination, disease states that affect the patient. Whereas from other tokens that are more focused on, you know, general usage of data, they're not really looking at the underlying issues in the healthcare industry that needs to be addressed really using that data. I mean, I'm not saying like they don't have the potential to do that. I think for us, we're really thinking about these problems firsthand and how we can apply blockchain to solve them.
Where do you see Patient20 in 5 years or 10 years, 20 years? Where do you see yourself?
Wow, that's a great question. I wake up and I ask myself that every day.
Oh, really? Like, every day? You drive yourself crazy that way.
I know. But no, he's taking it one day at a time, right? But, right. You know, our overall vision is to really, you know, have that global footprint and really see patients using it to their benefit where, you know, we're having a significant improvement on the overall well-being and health of the individual. Especially in, you know, developing countries where, you know, medical care is harder for patients to access.
What is the access of this for, say if you're a clinic in Nigeria and you want to put your health records on the blockchain? Can they afford this?
This should be simple. It's really our value proposition is cost to zero, right? Okay. How can we decrease the cost of healthcare by a factor of a million? And I think just by using, you know, cryptocurrency, which doesn't require, you know, a lot of effort to actually use and get, we see this playing into the long-term strategy for healthcare. And it really, you know, goes full circle in my first position at the telemedicine startup where, you know, the doctors were online and they couldn't get access to these employee records because they weren't a part of their health institution. So we really see this in the grander scheme of access for patients in developing countries that can have their information and maybe, you know, they use it to travel elsewhere to get treatment.
If you don't mind, can we move into more general questions about the market?
Yeah.
And what do you think of the market these days? The FUD, the hype, Bitcoin's price hovering around 20,000. Do you think this is a good thing?
I think that without anything new, you're gonna see these reactions. I think it's human nature. To me, I find it really amusing, especially the FUD and the stories that come out of it. But I do see where, you know, the interest is growing. And I think it's with that, people are really waking up and, you know, wanting to learn more about the industry, about cryptocurrency, you know, about blockchain, because it is the future.
I 100% agree. And I think that you hit on one of my sore spots about, you know, the current market is the media and how they just love to FUD the crap out of Bitcoin every chance they get.
Yeah.
And they love to hype it when they get a chance to. It's like pick a side, y'all. Pick a side.
Exactly.
Or at least report real
news.
It's like
you're hot today and then cold tomorrow.
Exactly.
You know, I've never seen an industry that's just, again, it's so volatile, right?
Right. The speed that cryptocurrency moves, it's allowing us to see the media machine, the banking machine, and human nature in a real time that we all can digest. So we can see the way that the media is playing their games with the news and the stories and the clickbait.
Absolutely. It really sheds a light, you know, and transparency on especially a lot of corporate practice that would have been shielded from the average person 10 years ago.
What is one person you look up to in the crypto space?
I would have to give it out to Miko Otama. I don't know if you know him, the token market guys.
Nope.
Like, they work their asses off. And I think he was ranked, you know, one of the top three advisors in crypto space, along with Vitalik.
Okay.
Because it's hilarious. I think he's done the majority of the token sales and ICOs this year. 2017.
So why do you look up to him? Just because he's a hard worker, or?
Yeah, hard work. I know being in the space, you're literally up to your nose in work, and just the smarts and the ability to see through, you know, all the BS and really maintain your integrity and character through it all.
Right on.
He's dealing with millions of dollars, you know, on a daily basis. So, and writing smart contracts and advising startups. So, I mean, it's a high intense job.
Is he an advisor for you?
Indirectly.
Like, hey.
Indirectly, yeah. Yeah, he did advise us earlier this year.
I'm actually a big holder of P-Toy, so I'm...
Oh, nice. Yeah, congrats.
Congrats to you.
Long-term holder.
I'm in it for the long run because I really like... there's a lot of things I like about your company so far, and I really hope that you are successful in, you know, taking people to the... And, you know, this is one of those things, like, it is sort of a crowdfunding thing, so every little bit helps. And, you know, getting to know people like you, the people in the space, and, you know, connecting the listeners to you is important.
Exactly. It really is.
Which company do you think is going to have the greatest impact in the crypto space in the future?
In the future. Not, like, Patientory?
You can. But let's try not to. Let's try another one. What is your idea?
I know. I was kidding.
No, you weren't.
You just know me so well already. Look at that. But I really admire the guys at Ethereum. I think what they're doing and just recreating the internet is so powerful. And I just can't wait to see, you know, the milestones and the products that come out of it in like the next 5 years and the adoption.
Right. You know, I always ask in this podcast, if this was the first podcast somebody just getting into the space heard, they saw this interview with you, what would you want them to know?
I don't want to sound too cliche, but, you know, don't listen to all the FUD in the space. You know, definitely be open-minded, do your research, and the sky is the limit.
Right on. That was very concise. Is there anything else that we need to cover of Patientory, or?
Yeah, other than, you know, check us out at patientory.com and sign up to our newsletter. We just sent one out earlier today, and join our Slack.
The final question of the day, before I ask the final question, I want to say thank you very much for spending your time with us. And I really do hope that you get people's health on the blockchain or into their hands so they can send it without 4 weeks to 4 months the delays in getting their health information.
Thank you, Matthew. I appreciate it. That's the goal. We want to make healthcare secure, right, and accessible.
What 3 song would you like with your interview?
All right, don't laugh.
I can't promise that.
I'm joking. So the first one is going to be Celine Dion, A New Day Has Come.
I'm trying to not to laugh. I'm trying. I'm just going to mute my mic. Okay, go on. Okay.
The second one is Alphaville, Forever Young.
Good song.
Yeah, I love that song. And I was really having a hard time thinking of the third one. And I'm like looking through my playlist and like how I feel right now. And I just can't seem to pick a song.
We'll wait for it.
Wait for it?
Yeah, we're going to have to wait for it. I can't just insert a song in there willy-nilly.
Okay, so it's going to have to be Bruno Mars, 24K Magic.
There you go. Boom. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thank you, like always, for listening to Crypto 101. This is Matthew Aaron. Before I go, I want to say ApogeeCrypto.com, ApogeeCrypto.com, the best place to check real-time prices on your cryptocurrencies and a lot more information. So check them out. I've said it many times. You won't be disappointed. Thank you very much, and don't forget to refer your friends to this podcast. Even though it's just cryptocurrency, the conversations and the interviews we think are quite interesting just to learn about new technology that's coming out in the market. So please refer your friends to Crypto 101, and thank you again for listening. This is Matthew Aaron.
Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details. At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.